Welcome to the Jack and John podcast.
I'm Jack.
And I'm John.
And we're on a mission
to help you focus on Christ. Well, Jack, you know, there's part of me that's a little sad just because we're kind of getting near the end of the book of Mark. And also, I feel sort of like, you know, you're watching a movie and the tension is building, you know, and you're getting ready for it. And it reminds me like when my wife and I were watching the Titanic years ago. I'm sitting there, I'm biting my nails. I've got my thumb, it's sore. I'm chewing my nails. And I lean over to my wife and I said, "This is so dumb. We both know it's going to sink." And it's like, we know how it's going to end, but it's still, I still feel the tension. So, well, Jack, before we get in, I feel like Jesus is saying something to his disciples here that's not necessarily like in so many words and spoken out loud, but that is, what really matters? What is it that really matters?
Yeah, well, one of the things that kind of struck me when I entered into Mark 13 was they walked by the temple again.
Right.
And there's been a lot of activity through the book of Mark on the temple and around the temple, the cleansing of the temple and things like that. And now he looks at it. And if you look at John and Luke, they mention that the temple is desolate. And so basically what is going to happen to the temple is it's going to grow silent. And so it's lost its purpose. And I think worse than that, the temple has lost its spirit. And Jesus walks by, I think, and sees that. And facts are, in AD 70, Titus is going to come into Jerusalem and totally destroy the temple. And today you can go to Jerusalem and it's just the remains, brief remains of what was once a grand place of worship in the center of the Jewish faith. And so I think what mattered was the life, the spirit, the truth of God through his people that needs to shine and needs to grow and needs to continue, and how sad it was that they had not paid attention to the Gentile. They were not open to other people. And they were, especially the leaders, were so pointed on destroying Jesus himself. And we're just looking for a time to do it. Afraid to do it during this Passover time, but looking for any moment that became available. So what really matters is Jesus and his mission coming to the earth to touch us with his compassion and to give us hope, and how he was trying to do that through the Jewish nation, and how they had failed,
right,
and lost that spirit.
I like what Mike said before we got started. We were just kind of chewing on this a little bit, and the things that really matter, you can't buy in a store.
Right.
You know, love, faithfulness, family.
Hope.
Hope, yeah. You just can't buy those things. Well, let's just read through this and chew on it a little bit. So we're in Mark chapter 13. And as Jesus was leaving the temple that day, now you remember this is after that exhausting day. Mm-hmm. The day prior, he had cleared the temple. Mm-hmm. Then he goes back to the temple, which I think was an incredibly brave move at that point, because the religious leaders were hating on him already for what he had done. And then they spent all day first being tested by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and then just talking with the people. And then ends with the woman donating all she has. Mm-hmm. So here we are. As Jesus was leaving the temple that day, one of his disciples said, "Teacher, look at these magnificent buildings. Look at the impressive stones in the walls." Jesus replied, "Yes, look at these great buildings, but they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Jesus later sat on the Mount of Olives across the valley from the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to him privately and asked him, "Tell us, when will all this happen? And what sign will show us that these things are about to be fulfilled?" Jesus replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah.' They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars. But don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world, as well as famines. But this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. When these things happen, when they begin to happen, watch out. You will be handed over to the local councils and beaten in the synagogues. I want to stop there for a minute, Jack, because, you know, up to now, when they're asking them the questions like, who's going to be the greatest and that kind of stuff, Jesus tells them about what's going to happen to him. Has he told them up to now what's going to happen to
He's
them?
Prophesying specifically about those disciples.
It's like, just remember, 3 days ago, these guys asked, hey, can we be the greatest? Can we sit on your right and your left? You know, can we have the places of honor? And now here he is telling them, you will be beaten.
Well, I think everybody wants to hear the good news, and everybody wants to hear the happy news, and, you know, it's difficult to hear the truths that over 60% of Christians today are being persecuted.
Wow.
More being persecuted than aren't. And yet what we see, I think, through the scriptures is that it is through persecution that often the best witness comes.
Right.
For the gospel.
Right.
Because when you stand up under great persecution, it is a great witness for the mission and for the message and for the man, the person, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross. So, I think it's pretty hard news to hear. And they had asked him, they wanted to know about when, and they wanted to know the what. What are the signs
right.
of it, right? The when
right.
and the what. And Jesus opens up with all of these unbelievable prophecies. And I see him talking about current day, present times. I see him about continuing times. And I see him talking about end times,
right.
all three in this one dissertation.
Right.
This is basically what we call the Olivet Discourse in Matthew and in Luke. And Mark just kind of, you know, mentions that he sits down on the Mount of Olives, you said, across from the
right.
temple, and they come to him then, and this is when he speaks to them these things about the future, and it included suffering persecution.
It's more than a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to put myself in that kind of position. You know, imagine you're one of the disciples and you're sitting there and you know, you basically ask these kind of questions in such a way because you want to know how you can be prepared, or better yet, how can we avoid the problems that are going to come. In other words, if the Romans are going to come storm the city, I don't really want to be there, you know, when that happens, kind of thing. And so you're asking, you know, how can we avoid this in a sense? And here he's telling you, you're going to be in the thick of it.
Yeah, and it's going to be really bad, and it's going to be worse than, you know, than we think.
Yeah.
It's going to be the tribulation time.
Oh, yeah.
I think is what he's, a little bit of what he's talking about here. So it's going to be bad.
All right, well, let's read on. So we're in Mark 13, verse 9, halfway through that verse. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you were my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. For the good news must first be preached to all nations. But when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry in advance about what to say. Just say what God tells you at that time. For it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. God does that so many times through Scripture. He speaks through people to people. I was just listening this morning to a podcast talking about the book of Samuel, okay? And Hannah is crying out to God in front of the tabernacle because she's barren. She hasn't had any children. Now, she's got a competing wife because her husband's got two wives, and the one's got all these kids and is just kind of brutal toward her. and always mocking her and giving her what for, probably because the husband loves her. He's giving Hannah a double portion every time they go up to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, for worship. And maybe he does it in part because he feels sorry for her, but she's there praying and she's pouring her heart out to God. And Eli sees her there and she's not making any words because it's all in her heart. And she's just moving her lips and she's crying. And he thinks she's crazy or drunk. She says, I'm not crazy or drunk. I'm pouring my heart out to God. I don't think she tells him, you know, here's what I'm praying to God. She just says, I'm pouring my heart out to God. You know, don't look down on me as a worthless woman. And what does Eli say to her? He says, may God grant your request. Now go in peace, kind of thing. Okay. That's God speaking to her through Samuel. And over through scripture, he does it. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we might get in a tough spot at some point. And rather than focus on ourselves, maybe that's the opportunity that God's given us to speak to that someone else. What a way to speak to authorities. You know, it's like, seriously, God sent his only son. Jesus could have been like an emissary or, you know, the prince, you know, he said, hey, I'm the prince of peace, guys. You know, bring these leaders and their emissaries to me. I'll talk to them. Or, you know, I'm going to go to Rome. No, that's not how he does it. He's going to talk to these governors through fishermen and tax collectors, and, you know.
Well, it was the opportunity for the disciples to speak to the Gentiles.
Right.
And the Gentiles that they were going to speak to were the kings.
Yeah.
And were the authorities.
Yeah.
In the land. And that's a great privilege for them to get to do. And it's a nice thing to know that I don't have to come up with the agenda. That the
Absolutely.
Holy Spirit is going to bring up the agenda.
Yeah.
And going to give me the things to say. And so they got to trust in the Lord in that. You know, it's interesting that Jesus speaks of judgment here through this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And judgment isn't an easy thing to hear about. This is a part of every generation,
right.
These things that he speaks of. This isn't just something that's going to happen, you know, in the end times. You know, some people have so many specific beliefs concerning the second coming of Jesus and the tribulation and all of those kinds of things. And I tend to think that sometimes that makes us a little harsh, doomsday prophet, so to speak. And I think we need to keep positive, and I think that we need to keep our hope. And I think that we need to also study the truth of the scripture, and that is that this struggle is happening in every generation. It was happening in the first generation and has throughout time until now. And the other thing that's common, what he spoke about, was social upheavals where people hated the people of God. And we're seeing that again today, social upheavals, people who are storming government buildings, tearing down, you know, statues, hitting each other, a murder, two or three murders every night in Indianapolis, every single night. It's people against people. It's just an upheaval happening. And the third thing is that there's going to be a lot of physical catastrophes. My son-in-law right now is in Fort Myers, insurance, trying to figure out how much they're going to pay these people who have lost everything. And these things are happening, you know, all around, and they always have, and they will continue to until the coming of Jesus. So I guess that's just the truth.
All right, well, let's just keep pouring on through this. I got to find where I was here. Sorry about that. Okay. A brother will betray his brother to death. We're at verse 12. A father will betray his own child, and children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And everyone will hate you because you're my followers. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. I'm just picturing these guys looking back and forth at each other like, this is not what I wanted to hear. Yeah. I mean, you will be hated because you were my followers. Wow.
But they've experienced that a bit.
Yeah, a bit. But you know, again,
more aimed toward Jesus.
As you're thinking about his kingdom coming, you know, when a king establishes his rule, you're not thinking, okay, now that we've got the rule established, everyone's going to hate us. Yeah, they've got it still sideways.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The day is coming when you will see the sacrilegious object, or the abomination that causes desolation, the sacrilegious object that causes desecration, standing where he should not be. Now, there's in the NLT here, it's got it in parentheses, reader, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Scholars would tell you that that's probably an editorial comment that scribes added to the text.
It's in the ESV as well.
Right, right. Yeah. Reader, pay attention. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return even to get a coat. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in winter. For there will be greater anguish in those days than at any time since God created the world. And it will never be so great again. In fact, unless the Lord shortens that time of calamity, not a single person will survive, but for the sake of his chosen ones, he has shortened those days. I mean, back up and imagine the flood. You know, imagine.
It was a bad time.
Right. I mean, 8 people survived.
Yeah.
8 people.
I would suppose being drowned wouldn't be the worst way to die.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone drowned by the flood.
But, yeah, the worst way to die, we'll just abbreviate it this way, would be slow and painful.
Slow and painful.
Yeah.
So,
and that's a lot of different ways. So, yeah, it's like, it's heavy, heavy, heavy stuff.
Heavy, heavy stuff.
You know, it's like, there's part of me that right now, it's like, can we skip to the last chapter of Revelation and read about the good stuff? I mean, we do know who wins in the end, okay? We know how the story ends. We're watching a ball game, okay, and it's down to the wire and your team is impossibly behind, but guess what? You're still going to win.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, thank goodness for that knowledge. Then if anyone tells you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. Watch out. I have warned you about this ahead of time. At that time, after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. I don't even want to pretend to know what that stuff means, okay? And honestly, I don't really believe that what we believe on that matters. It's just God saying, you better be prepared. Well, how can you be prepared for something like that? Well, I can tell you how. It's the same way you can be prepared for judgment. You can't. You got to rely on Jesus. Okay, just like it's his blood that saves us from our own sins, it's his Holy Spirit and his power and his might that saves us through all of the dark things in this world and all of the things to come. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the Son of David. He is our salvation. We're lost. We're literally lost without him. You're facing stuff like this. There's nothing you can do except rely on him.
Right. Yeah, I think that Jesus is giving this warning for our sake. You know, it helps to be ready. It helps to know. And it helps to understand that these things are not happening by happenstance, that they're the determined will of God.
Right.
And this is the way, you know, this is going to happen. But basically, what's going to happen to the disciples? Well, they're going to be persecuted by the Jews. They're going to be a witness to the Gentiles in that they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They're going to be betrayed by family. Family's going to start to betray family because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they'll be hated by the public. There you go, disciples. Enter into your mission. there's your work that you're called to. That's a hard thing, but it's good to know that right. That's what ahead of them. And, you know, you have to endure persecution. How do you endure persecution? How do you do it? I mean, seriously, how do you do that? Why, you know, you have to keep your eye on Jesus. You have to keep your commitment in the mission of why you're doing what you're doing. There has to be a purpose, right, in the mission. The mission is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it's nice to know that if you will endure this, that, listen, you're going to be saved. You're going to be in heaven. You're going to be in glory. You're going to be rewarded, you know, for your faithfulness, for your witness. And so that's basically, in my opinion, kind of what he's been saying here. And it's then he goes into this thing. And I think that this was, I don't know, I think this is probably to these disciples when he talks about don't be pregnant. Hope women aren't pregnant in that time. And don't hope it doesn't happen in winter.
Right.
And all these things. When these, you know, these marauders come into Jerusalem, you can't mess with your coat or any belongings.
You got to run.
You got to get out now. And so that's escaping judgment. There's going to be a sacrilege in the temple. But this has happened in history.
Sure.
It happened in history. I'm trying to think of who. I think it was Caligula that put his image in the temple at the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there's been people who have come into that temple and desecrated it. And in 70 AD, it was destroyed.
Right.
So, you know, these things are hoping that you will escape judgment. There's a physical nature to it, and physical nature is going to be affected. And he said, look to the heavens. And you're going to see some things in the heavens that's going to happen that you've never seen before, so that you'll know the time. But you haven't finished yet, so I won't
it's all good.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, let's just pour on to that part.
Ultimate destruction.
Yeah. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. He will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. The story, the coming of the Son of Man, can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do, and he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone, watch for him.
Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't lose your faithfulness. Don't grow discouraged. Keep moving forward. You know, no matter what your situation, no matter how you feel, it's coming back to the truth of the Word of God. And I think that's why Jesus reminds us, my words will last forever. Everything won't last forever, but my words will last forever. And so we are told to watch in Matthew, and to wait, and to be on guard, and to be on alert, because you don't know when it's going to come, when it's going to happen. So don't get slothful Be alert, be confident, be ready. And I think that there's a lot of hope in this, even though it sounds pretty dismal. This is end time stuff. And it's looking at the negative of society and the negative of the way men have received Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be good for people who don't receive Jesus Christ. But those of us who have and who know him, these words are hopeful, and we should look forward to the coming of Christ. And because that's going to be the beginning of eternity in glory in his presence. And I look forward to that day. I'm ready.
Amen.
I'm ready.
Some pretty heavy stuff. I'm just sitting here. I was trying, when we're reading through this, to try to put myself in the mind of one of the disciples that's mm-hmm. hearing all this. And I think I would just be amazed, terrified, bewildered, and still hopeful and anticipating, because this Jesus that you've been with for the last few years, and you've seen all of the amazing and incredible things that he's done that you never thought were possible, you can't deny the reality of that. And this is the same guy that's telling you these things. And you know, from everything you've seen and from what he has said and what you've experienced, that he is that Son of Man that he's talking about. Mm-hmm. You don't have any idea what it all means, but you're sitting there amazed, astounded, terrified, all of that. But I can't help think of this from the standpoint of the refiner and his fire. You know, we talk about the refiner's fire. Gold is not afraid of the fire, okay? And if you've given your heart and your life to Jesus, you're gold. But he's going to refine you. He's going to refine all of us. And putting you into that fire is not easy, but guess what? What's burning up and coming away from that is all the stuff that you don't need. It's the stuff that's not really you. You know, we've talked to people who have gone through addiction, through abuse, through sex trafficking, all these things. None of those things are them. People who are recovering addicts will tell you your past is not who you are. It might have tried to shape you. It doesn't define you. You're gold. And this story right here, God's holding us into the fire.
Well, what the disciples need most is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when the Holy Spirit is given, after
Amen.
Jesus ascends, then things will be a little
Absolutely.
Bit
different. Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for being with us. I'm excited. Next time we're going to jump into Mark chapter 14, where Jesus gets anointed in Bethany. And this story is just so rich and deep and true. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time.